Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes, and this is the audio journal of my life behind the scenes of a YouTube creator, etc. It is the 6th of February. Beg your pardon, January went in a flash, didn't it? It seems to me went in a flash. We're now in February. I mean, it'll be December before we know it. Oh, blimey. And I'm just about to make some tea. It's just after 8, much later again than I expected. Sorry, I just going to want to put some stuff in the bin outside. Got a few of the old recycling things. Just undo the door, get rid of the mess. There's a little bit of washing up to do. It is another overcast day. I'm told that it's likely to be raining again. Where are you? Oh, there you are. And it's been doing this. I mean, all of pretty much the winter has been wet. We haven't had many of those crisp, sunny, frosted days that we used to get when I was a kid, or even when I was a younger man. It just seems now, these days, with the weather manipulation, the attack on the farmers and the attack on the crops and making sure things don't grow by these global twits that wish to take over the world, they just made our weather system absolutely appalling. And of course they want to blame it on global warming and say it's all our fault for having all this stuff, and they can go to hell, basically. They can all go to hell. Because I'm fed up with them. Fed up with them. Anyway, so that's, that's me. So another miserable day. So you'll just have to excuse me, because I want to record this, and I want to get on and do my video this morning, which is about, do I want to talk about it in here? If I'm talking about it in here, then you won't go and watch it over there. I used to like sort of working it all out in The Naked Englishman and sort of do sort of like a rehearsal thought process. But some days I just, I don't know. Had some very nice emails about the recent videos that I have done, which is nice. So that's really good. I'm very pleased about that, which is lovely. I've got to make Julia a tea, a pine needle tea, she said. So pine needle tea it is. I'm just trying to get some space here. So sorry about all the noises off. Well, they're not so much off, are they? They're right in front of your face. I've recorded, did I say this? I don't know. The other day, I've recorded a short story, or at least part one of a short story, and I've now, as an audio file, and I've now created a little web page with the link to it, so that on the pipe smoking video, I can release that. Hang on a minute, can't get the drawer shut. We had mashed potato yesterday, and I can't seem to get the masher to sit in the drawer. Sorry about all this noise and thumping and banging and crashing. Just trying to get it done, really, as quickly as possible. The days, they just slip away now. I don't know if we've noticed that everything goes faster. One minute it's 8 o'clock in the morning, the next minute it's 8 o'clock at night. And nothing is getting done. Everything is very slow, but if we are getting there. Okay, right, got some space now to wash stuff up and talk to you. Apologies for that. I've managed to shave myself and get myself dressed, so that's something. I did wake up in the night and I got up, I don't know, it was around quarter to four o'clock, between 4 and 5, came downstairs, couldn't sleep, and did a bit of reading, bit of R.F. Delderfield, which I'm reading The Dreaming Suburb, which is a lovely book of an avenue of people in 1940. One of the reasons for wanting to read it is, of course, I'm writing my book about 1940 and the bombings on the South Coast. This is based in London. Actually, it's just before the war, to be honest. The Dreaming Suburb. So I'm writing, I think I've mentioned it before, so I won't bore you with the same plot line, but hopefully people will enjoy it when it's finally done. So it's nice to have some other, you know, I know it's fiction, but it's nice to see how other people have written about that time. And of course, R.F. Delderfield was around during that time. And so he has got a better authority on how people spoke and the type of things they would talk about. So whilst it's not historical stuff that I'm looking for, it is, I suppose, mood and character and the way people spoke and the way they dressed and those sort of things, which I think fiction of that era is very good at portraying, because you can look things up in an encyclopedia or on Google or whatever, and you get a sort of a stark version of it. You know, people wore these dresses, these suits, these things, but I'm sure that people didn't describe them in the same way as they would be described in encyclopedic terms. People would have different, you know, they might talk about a pair of slacks, or they might talk about a worsted jacket in a slightly different way. And so that's where I think fiction, sorry, I'm some distance from the microphone, I think fiction works really well for colloquialisms and, you know, how people would respond and reply to certain things. To questions and what sort of questions they would have and their understanding of the world around them. I think that's, again, also something that you get from fiction that you don't get from fact. And actually, in the end, you do wonder what is more true to life. Is it fiction, you know, a decent novel that's well researched and the characters are beautifully drawn, or just the basic fact? Facts are boring. They're boring on their own. And there's plenty of people who are writing so-called factual books about things. And I, you know, have read many of them. But there's no emotion. There's no, you know, the human element starts to disappear a little bit when it's very factual. But in fiction, there is the human emotion. And let's face it, we are mostly a bundle of nerves and emotions tied up in whatever our consciousness is. So that's been very interesting. I've also been, I don't know quite why it keeps coming up on my YouTube. You know, you get one video and you start watching it, and then there's a whole bunch of others. And I've been watching a lot of Christopher Hitchens' work, or revisiting it, because I suppose about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, I was listening to a lot of Hitchens' lectures and opinions and panels where he is on, talking about God and his belief that God does not exist. And while he says, quite obviously, I can't prove that he doesn't exist, but there is no evidence for his existence. And he puts a case, I think I spoke about this fairly recently, and he puts the case over very, very vividly. He was very charming, very erudite, very knowledgeable, encyclopedic knowledgeable, and so well read. It puts a lot of people, I think, to shame. And he puts over many, many arguments, which are very, in essence, simplistic, but the sort of arguments that people perhaps had not given much thought about. I mean, one of the things I love that he says is that man had been around for, let's say, 100,000 years. And then sort of towards the end of that 100,000 years, it's only then, in the last couple of thousand years, that if there was a God, God suddenly goes, oh, I better intervene and send my son down and try and explain, you know, what it is, and we should love each other and we shouldn't kill each other and we should all be nice. And he sends him down to what he describes, which I think is fairly accurate, sort of Bronze Age, the Bronze Age Middle East, where most people are fairly illiterate and, you know, in backward, non-civilized area, and that's supposed to fix the world. And I think that's a very good argument. Why, if there was a God, would he send his son, who's supposed to have all this influence and what have you, around in this sort of, in the middle of absolutely a hotbed of ignorance and violence and madness? Why would he send them there? I don't know the answer, and I don't know that anybody can really answer that question. It's all very mysterious. And then, of course, all the texts, I suppose, of the Bible and stuff is, you know, it's so contradictory. And so he claims, you know, so man-made, how can it possibly be the word of God? And if God was such a thing, he was, well, he was either uncaring, because he allows people to suffer, and you know, God's plan. Why would he plan thousands and thousands? If he's so clever, why does he allow people to suffer in such a way? It's he puts it over very interestingly. However, I don't agree with him on everything. I don't agree with him on everything, because I think there are flaws in his argument. He sort of dismisses consciousness as if it is purely a man-made, that it is the sum total of what the brain's activity is. He also, of course, when he was writing, he talks about, hang on, he doesn't go down any conspiracy theories, of course, so he doesn't want to examine, or doesn't, you know, he talks about the Darwin thing, and I'm not sure that Darwin's point of view about the strongest of the fittest was quite correct. Here we are, look, there's your food. Here. Go and have your dinner, your breakfast. Anyway, so I disagree there, because I think that the consciousness is something more than the sum of the human parts and the physical world. And again, whilst nobody can sort of prove one way or another at the moment, or there's a lot of interesting people thinking about this, I think that he's missed a number of very important elements. So he just dismisses all the fanciful, says life doesn't go on after death, etc., and that there's no real reason, rhyme or reason for why we're here. And, you know, on the face of that, and if you're looking at everything absolutely only logically, in the profound, if you're only looking at it from a physical aspect, then I think that's where you do end up. Sorry, I just need to grab something. Right. I've got Julia's tea sorted, and I have washed up, and I have managed to speak to you for 14 minutes so far. Anyway, I found it very interesting. And, of course, you know, I think one should always be able to listen to different points of view. And the thing about his the videos that are up there with the debates is that you get both sides. You get the religious people sort of putting their argument, and they, and whilst they're incredibly erudite and very well versed and all of that, they still cannot make the argument that there is any real proof out there, because it doesn't seem to be. But does that mean that God does not exist? Well, I guess at the end of the day, everything comes down to what you believe. Do you believe your own eyes? Do you believe the logic of the world? Here we go, my darling.
Thank you very much.
And do you, or do you just believe in what is factual? And I don't know that that is the right way of looking at things, because we all live in my, it seems to me that we all live in completely different worlds, that we see the world in one perspective, out of our one pair of eyes, out of our one brain or our mind or from our soul. However you want to determine that, it seems to me that everybody sees the world differently, and I say the world, their world, the world that inhabits them, their thoughts and everything, and their perspective is so unique depending on how they were brought up, their temperament, their ability to think, the way that whatever talents they were given or attributes as a human being or as a body with a mind, everybody will see things so differently. And you know what's more true, it's when you write fiction, for example, these characters live. Now I'm not saying you could go and visit them, of course you can't, because they're all made up. But it makes, they live and they have personalities, and they dictate how a book will be written or how they would respond to things. And now a lot of people don't believe all of this, of course, but they do. And also, if we watch a film, you suspend belief and you get into that film. And that world, for the 1.5 hours or 2 hours, whatever the length of film is, exists. It exists in your mind. Everything exists in the mind. It's only in the mind. And yet we think the physical world is absolutely real and tangible. But we know that if we look at it through powerful microscopes, that actually when you come to see it, things are just vibration and movement. And so there's nothing really there at all, which sort of gives the impression that then everything is a bit of a simulation, that there's something else going on. And I think that's something that he misses, really. And so therefore, and when you dream, you know, you dream and those dreams are real. Are they any more or less real than what you see or do in real life? The only difference, it seems to me, is that the so-called real life, the physical world that we find ourselves in, is something that will not go away. It doesn't change. I mean, it changes over time, of course, but it doesn't, you don't wake up in a different bed if you go to sleep. You don't wake up and everything, the buildings have changed, as they might do in a dream or they might do in a fiction. But all these things live in our heads. Everything is in our heads. And we kind of make out that the physical world is rigid. And it doesn't. It's not really rigid, because things do change. I mean, circumstances change. The body gets older. Our minds develop and our ideas change. We change our ideals. We think and develop and mature. And, nothing is the same. We all think that we see the same colours, but maybe we don't. We interpret words and thoughts and actions very differently from one another. The world, the physical world, isn't as rigid as we might think, because everything is in the mind. And I think that's something that we, in our daily lives, where we're distracted from everything and we feel that we've got to go and earn some money and we've got to go to work and we give away our time for somebody else, we forget these most important and fundamental things. And when it comes down to it, of course, we forget to live because we are distracted in this so-called physical world so much. And I've been pondering all of this quite a lot whilst I've been recuperating from this strange muscle thing and of course been unable to get up onto the land because of the wet weather and being able to do anything. I've been preoccupied a lot with a lot of thinking about what it is, who am I, where, what is the point, where are we going, is there any point to be achieving things when you can't take it with you when you go? What is the purpose of life? All these sort of questions have been preoccupying me. And most people, I think when you're young and you know, you've got these very basic fundamental questions which you ask as children. And then you kind of get lost in the school system, in the work system, in finding relationships. And we're all directed in one way to think this is what we've got to do. And then, of course, then there's all these authority figures saying, well, you need to pay us money just to exist on this planet or whatever it is, just to exist, just to take shelter. You need to give us money. And so therefore, you've got to go and work and earn this money. But the money, of course, is not even real money. It's just a promise to pay. And we get distracted with all of that, and we forget the fundamental things, that we have been born into a realm that we don't really fully understand, and that already somebody else is on us saying, you've got to go to school, you've got to have this curriculum, you've got to go and do, you know, the narrative is playing out in order to keep everybody the same, and not allowing thought to develop, or even people just to be and say, do you know what, I'm hungry, I'd like to grow some food and just be and watch the sunrise and be with nature and not do anything else and just sit there and smoke my pipe and have a happy life. But no, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed. You're made to feel guilty if you sit around and do very little. You've got to achieve things. And then when you retire, then you can sit around. When your body is decrepit, when you're unable to have that energy of youth with you. And anyway, by that point, your perspective has changed. It's a fascinating thing, isn't it? Life is a fascinating thing. But most of us don't think about it, which is the sad part. But anyway, none of this is what I want to talk about on my video today. It's a completely different subject, although, of course, it's all similarly related at the end of the day. But yes, so that's what I've been thinking. And this stuff goes round and round. And I think you do visit these subjects when you get a bit more mature, because you go, have I been wasting my life? Have I been wasting time by doing things, particularly for other people, as particularly this business about having to give away your life in order to exchange it for a invisible payment, a promise to pay, a fiat currency that you give to other people who've been duped and think that they have some authority over you? And where do they get their authority other than deciding amongst themselves, we have the authority? Which is complete bonkers. And I'm sorry I haven't put this terribly coherently, but that is where I am, and that's where I've been thinking, and I hope some of that has resonated with maybe some of you who are on a similar journey of trying to work out, you know, the fundamentals of what's it all about, Alfie, and why are we in this strange position? What does it mean? And does it mean anything? And should it mean anything? Perhaps it doesn't mean anything. Perhaps we're getting so wrapped up in trying to find meaning. Perhaps there isn't any meaning. Perhaps it just is. It's a curious time. Anyway, thank you for listening, and I will catch up with you no doubt in a couple of days. I'm doing these more every other day at the moment. I will get back to being daily at some point, but for the moment it suits me just to do these things every other day. It gives me a chance to do a bit more thinking and make them perhaps a bit more relevant. I don't know, some of them aren't, but anyway, I don't know how many people listen, whether they listen at all, really. I mean, from time to time people tell me they listen, and time to time people tell me that there was something of value in there. I mean, I mainly do it for me, to think through some of the ideas that I've been talking. Can I eloquently, or even non-eloquently, formulate what seems to be a non-language based idea in one's head into a language and spout it out in a first draft concept? and then record it. It's not necessarily worked through. It's not, as you can tell, it's very raw, and the idea is chop and change. But some people, of course, they listen to this and they think, ah, that's what he thinks. That's set in stone. And of course, that's not true. We all chop and change our minds as we learn new things. You know, new information has come to us, which changes our mind. And people don't like that, do they? They don't like people who change their mind or develop a theme a bit further. They get upset if somebody starts off in one direction and then decides to go in another direction. Or they can't do it themselves because their minds are so fixed by a narrative that's been put to them by somebody else. And if it's reinforced by mainstream media or any other sort of so-called authority figures, which they subserviently accept their role in life as being lower than others, then they accept these thoughts, and anybody else coming in and questioning those and going, well, is that really true? Is that really what's going on? They can't cope. And so then they are left to do what these sort of people do, and that is ridicule and take the mickey out of those that are just looking around and questioning and thinking. And people don't like that, do they? They can't cope, because it means that the anchor they're holding on to starts to drift, and they don't like that. They think, oh, I've got a handle on life. I know what I've got to do. I've got to go and do this, 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 and this, whatever it may be. And then somebody comes in and says, yeah, but is that really the case? And it's like, no, don't challenge me. I've worked out what my life is. And well, I think life is a shifting sand, and we do change and we mature and we change our thoughts. We read a book, perhaps, and it changes our life. We watch a film and it changes our life. And it's happening to everybody, even those that think that their anchor is solid. Subtly, subconsciously, you know, they are changing their opinion. But is it their opinion or the opinion of somebody else who is influencing them? And are they questioning those opinions? That's enough from me. Take care and enjoy the rest of your day.